Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on the sportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And Ray Woodson is our regular guest, too.
A lot of ifs, but after a disastrous 2017, the Giants were not going to rebuild. They're at least trying to compete, while many teams in the majors are tanking.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Welcome to another edition of our 2018 Spring Training Podcast. And today we've got a great show for you. Jeff Samardzija, a member of the Giants rotation, will be joining us in a conversation that we had just before spring training. Derek Law of the Giants bullpen, Nick Hundley, Giants catcher who came back to continue on with San Francisco, and former Giants relief pitcher Javi Lopez, now doing analysis for NBC Sports Bay Area. He joined us as well from Scottsdale. We'll start with the conversation just before everything got underway in Scottsdale, when I had a chance to sit down in San Francisco with right-hander Jeff Samardzija. Jeff, as you look forward to this season, what do you think of the moves that the Giants made, and what kind of optimism do you have?
Yeah, really excited. I was really pretty shocked at the offseason moves. I didn't know how much action we'd have going on and or really what their approach would be, especially with that soft cap. But really thrilled with the moves they made. I think I'm excited to have some everyday guys, a couple everyday guys in there that you know, along with Buster and Crawford and Belt, they're just going to slide in, show up every day, know where they're hitting, know where they're playing. I think that goes a long way within a lineup, and to have those two guys be guys named Evan Longoria and Andrew McCutchen is even better. Had a fair amount of time against Andrew and played a little bit against Evan, but I've seen Kutch enough to know we got a heck of a player with him. And obviously with Evan, it goes without being said that, two franchise guys and you put them on your team is exciting. And like I said, some great moves, and we get Kutch on a walk here, so he's going to be hungry and ready to go. And obviously Evan is so solid and so consistent with his career. You know what you're going to get out of him. So, and to see mix them in with the names we already have is exciting.
Well, since you already faced them, and as you said, more of McCutchen, what kind of challenge is it for a pitcher, since you're a pitcher, to face those two guys?
Yeah, they just cover the plate really well, and on top of that, they're disciplined. They don't swing at balls. That was always a tough thing for me with McCutchen, is to get him to chase my splitter or chase cutters out of the zone. Guys that can cover the plate and understand the strike zone are just tough to pitch to, and, you know, Longoria is no exception to that. I know he got me in Oakland on a fastball away that ran back over the plate first pitch. You know, nothing to it. Throw the hands, homer, and that's the kind of type of guy he is. You know, he hammers mistakes, and if a guy's throwing well, he's smart enough to go up there and battle and make him throw some pitches to have a nice long at bat. So, you know, when you put this lineup together, and it kind of takes the pressure off of any individual guy with adding those two guys, and everyone can go out that day and relax, and if two or three of those guys have good days, we're probably going to win the game.
We knew some changes were going to be made, and also you need to be healthy to compete. How frustrating was it for everybody last year? I mean, for you, because you had high expectations coming here to San Francisco and have a season like that for the team.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the way I look at it a little differently. You know, I mean, if you're not winning the World Series, you're going to be disappointed anyways. Obviously, the way it happened, you know, wasn't ideal, but we also didn't have the best luck last year when it came to early in the season, especially with injuries and things like that, and with Melanson and losing Belt later, and we lost Crawford early to a groin, and Buster second game of the season, and Will Smith out of camp. So, you know, the list goes on. We can sit here all day and say it till we're blue in the face, but ultimately everyone needs to stay healthy, and we need to just, you know, play how we play this game, and I think things will take care of themselves.
You stayed healthy, and you gave the Giants all those innings, and every year, to me, it seems like it's always a learning experience for everybody. What do you think were the main things that you kind of learned from last year about yourself that you're going to put into work this year?
Well, I think when you pitch through situations, we'll call them, you become a stronger guy on the back end. So whether that's a minor injury you pitch through, or a rough patch you pitch through, or a rough season, you know, that you go out and no luck's going your way and you keep pitching, I think when you do get a normal situation after that, you kind of sit there and understand that, hey, you don't take it for granted. You know, healthy team, a strong team, a team that's bonded together, it doesn't happen all the time. It's not the norm. You know, it's a special case when, you know, 25 guys come together and you have a nice long stretch. So I think you appreciate certain situations a little more when you go through rough patches. So whatever that rough patch is, you know, when you come out on the other end, usually you're a little stronger for it. So for me, it's I'm just excited to go through that and then have a clean slate and start all over with, you know, great spirits and a team that's ready to win.
When you think about pitching, I mean, everybody talks about, okay, you want to pound the strike zone, and you certainly did that. I mean, you had the strikeouts versus the walk ratio that most people would covet. But when you look at it, is there anything that you would change as far as that goes? You know, maybe, you know, guys hitting some of the pitches that are in the strike zone. You know, what did you make adjustments-wise last year and maybe in this year?
Yeah, I'm not going to get too involved in hypocrisy. It's an amazing thing the way you look at stats. You know, I had a ton of walks early in my career, and everyone would be all over me for – you know, getting in the zone and giving up free hitters, and, you know, and now I don't walk anyone, and now I'm, you know, throwing too many balls in the zone. So I could care less. You know, for me, it's about going back every individual game and making adjustments to those hitters that maybe had success against me last year, especially with the long ball and when that happened and when they were attacking. So for me, you know, looking back on it, it wasn't any one individual guy that was killing me, you know, outside of Sanchez in San Diego who had my number. You know, mostly it was a guy here, a guy there. So, you know, for me, it's going to be more of an individual adjustment now that I have a bunch more film on these guys to stay away from those zones, you know, that they felt excited about. But, you know, I don't want to put anyone on for free. You know, I would rather these guys get three hits to score a run and or it be a solo shot than, you know, a walk, a bloop, and a three-run homer. So, you know, I'm just looking to keep guys off the bags, have some quick innings, and you know, do everything I can to put your team in a situation to win, protect the leads. And like I've said before, a big thing for me this year is just have a fast start and give your team a chance to take a 1-0, 2-0 lead early in the game and then settle in there and have a good, strong end of the game.
Sanchez, by the way, is in the Giants organization.
Thanks.
So that's good news.
Thank you. Thank you for that, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jeff, for the time. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Giants right-hander Jeff Samardzija. Plenty more to come. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park, in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Well, Derek Law is hoping to be a big part of the Giants bullpen this season. Unfortunately for him, on Monday, he was optioned down to AAA Sacramento along with Tyler Beede and Roberto Gomez. Those were three right-handers sent down to AAA, and outfielders Austin Slater and Mac Williamson as well. And some of those guys really hoping to get a chance at the major league level again this year. And Derek Law, of course, was a part of the Giants bullpen, and then got sent down in 2017, so hoping to establish himself again. I sat down with Derek just prior to spring training in San Francisco at Media Day. Well, Derek, we're just sitting here chatting about some of these new acquisitions, including Andrew McCutchen, who was with the Pittsburgh Pirates, and of course you're a Pittsburgh guy. So what was your reaction to the signing, or actually the trade of Andrew McCutchen, and right after your Steelers lost in the playoffs, by the way?
Yeah. Actually, I found out the next day after the Steelers lost, so I was really bummed out. And then that next day I woke up to a bunch of text messages, and you know, all my buddies are like, is this happening? Like, McCutchen to the Giants? If so, we're full-blown Giants fans now. And I was like, I'm not sure. Let me check. So I was like texting around, and I, you know, then I looked on Twitter, and it was like it finally came out. And I'm like, oh wow, that's like, it's just crazy because you know, I grew up watching him. I think I was a junior in high school, you know, when he made his debut for the Pirates. Maybe it was like May or June or something like that. I might have even been at the game. I don't even know, but. I was just telling somebody else, he changed the game of baseball in the city of Pittsburgh, and it's crazy how one person can kind of do that, and a whole city just kind of gravitates towards him. But, I mean, he was the guy, you know. It's crazy that, you know, I'm on the same team as him now, so it's just kind of weird full circle kind of deal going on.
Well, how much do you take stock in somebody like that sort of energizing a team? He's obviously got talent, put up numbers and all that stuff, but just, you know, the energy that he's going to bring to the San Francisco Giants.
I mean, yeah, I think everybody sees the gifts and stuff like that, him having fun. Yeah, I think, you know, him, Longo, even Austin Jackson, guys like that, you know, those guys are faces of franchises, and you bring them in, and, you know, they can have a loose attitude and fit right in and mesh, you know, how Giants mesh. I think, you know, that creates kind of a environment for success.
What were the main learning aspects for you last year, and what do you want to take into this year as some things that you're going to work on in spring training?
Obviously, mentally was, you know, kind of wore on me. When I went down the sack, you know, kind of got my stuff together, differentiated the slider and curveball. That was the biggest thing for me, you know, kind of tweaking some mechanics. And, you know, this year, hopefully just be consistent again. You know, you can have a bad one here and there. Obviously, it's going to happen. But mentally, I just want to, you know, be in the game more again. Last year, I'd get down on myself sometimes. You know, I think I just put a little bit too much pressure on myself. You know, I started out throwing in the eighth inning. You know, I closed some games, and then, you know, kind of after that, I got in a funk, and I was trying too hard to get out of that funk instead of just doing the same thing I do and just letting it play itself out and then getting out of it myself. So I think, I mean, consistency for me is the main thing. Like, you can have bad games here and there, you know, but the next one, have a good one, you know, keep going with that and just kind of get in a groove.
Does it help to talk to other players? Because everybody's gone through the ups and downs of baseball.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, when I got sent down last year, you know, I talked to, you know, Mark came up, Melanson came up to me, and he said, you know, that's happened to me when I was, I think, with Houston or something like that. And, you know, it's going to happen. That's just, you know, how you battle back. So it's nice to hear the words of confidence. You know, obviously everybody, like you said, everybody goes through it except for guys like, you know, Buster. Just pure greatness. But, no, I mean, you know, it's going to happen. So hopefully that's the last of it.
You know, you see this team last year go through a tough year, the injuries and everything. And I'm talking to Joe Panik about it. I mean, he's pretty fired up about this season. It just seems like not only the additions, but everybody seems to be out to prove something after what happened last year.
Absolutely. I think everybody does. Everybody wants to prove something. You know, whether or not you had a good or bad year, it's still a team game. And losing that many games, we're not that bad of a team. We had pretty much had the same team we had the year before, and we made the postseason. We almost beat the Cubs, so... You know, it's kind of like, well, what the hell happened? And now it's like, all right, we're here to prove that we're that same team. And we added more guys to that mix to even, you know, not make it easier, but, you know, it helps a little bit.
Well, you think that the younger guys like yourself will sort of take charge of this team a little bit more? I mean, you're getting more and more comfortable in the major leagues as you go along. So do you think the young guys are, you know, kind of coming along the way you want them to?
I don't know about taking charge, but I mean, we have our team leaders, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, they are Buster, Bum, guys like that. And like I said, we added those other guys, and they're probably going to step in and also be leaders. For me, as a young guy, I mean, I guess, I mean, I don't even know if I'm young anymore. I'm 27, so that's not young.
To me, it's young.
Right, right. It's just kind of just feeling off of those guys and seeing how it's going. I mean, you know, they're going to do what they do. It's just feeding off their energy and all that stuff, like you were saying before. And I think, honestly, about, like, I want to, you know, reiterate about the last question you said. I think... I don't know what year was it, 97? And then the 98, they signed Bonds?
93, yeah.
Sorry, I mixed the days up. And then the next year they won 103 games, right?
Right, they came back.
Because of Atlanta.
Right, got much better.
I could see that happening, personally. You know, just the way everybody's acting, the way everybody's going about their business right now, it's just like, it's just the level of excitement is just, it's through the roof. I mean, the last 2 years I've been here, it hasn't been like that at all. I mean, obviously it's exciting, but this is like extra. So, I mean, I can't wait, personally.
When you see teams that have success, like the Astros, is there anything to be learned from that? I mean, it just seems like, you know, a lot of their young guys kind of came up together and bonded. And, you know, this team seems like it has a lot of chemistry in that way.
Yeah, we've always had a real – I mean, our chemistry has been I think bar none for most of the time. I mean, as I came up with the Giants, like when I got here, you know, like Buster's coming up to me, he's like, "Hey, I'm Buster Posey." I'm like, "Yeah, I know who you are. I'm Derek Law. You might not know who I am, but even like that just helps so much. Like, especially being a young guy and getting into there. So, you know, bringing in new guys like Austin Jackson, those guys, and that just helps to mesh the team together and, you know, kind of get that chemistry. And as for the Astros, I didn't even watch the World Series or anything like that. I couldn't do it. I can't stand watching other teams play, like, in the playoffs. I don't like it. So I did watch a little bit of game 7, I think it was. I watched a little bit of that, though.
It's funny you bring up Posey, because I remember Jeremy Affeldt used to tell me that people don't realize how forceful he can be when he talks to you, because he looks like the quiet guy. You just don't know if you're not in that clubhouse. So, you know, tell us, when he does come out and talk to you, or even if it's not in a game situation, what does he say that, you know, maybe makes an impact on you?
I mean, for me, as a young guy, anything, if he comes up to me and he has something to say, you know, you're listening. You're not just like, "Oh, yeah, I know." I mean, you're going to listen. It's Buster Posey. You know, everybody knows his accolades. So you're going to sit back and, you know, take it all in, and hopefully it translates out to the game, whatever that may be.
Do you have to get a feel for a new pitching coach? I mean, Dave Rigetti was the pitching coach for a long time here, and now you got Kurt Young. So will it take a little bit of time for everybody to adjust that?
I'm sure. You know, he has to, you know, kind of get everybody's habits and, you know, their mechanics and stuff like that. But I'm sure he's talked to Rags and Gardy about all that stuff. He's been out in Arizona. I was out there for the last, you know, 10 days, and he's been out there, and he watched a couple of our bullpens. And, I mean, he seems like a great guy. He called me, actually, right after I think they announced – that he was the new pitching coach, and he called me maybe like a week later just to kind of just get a feel and just, you know, introduce himself over the phone. So I thought that was great. I think he's going to fit right in, you know. He has a good resume, so.
How do you approach spring training too? Like, we're, you know, you want to peak at the end, I guess, but, you know, how do you look at it, because you're, you know, kind of building up your innings, whether you're a starter or a reliever?
Right. Honestly, in the past, I've had trouble differentiating between, you know, whether to start throwing too, like, early, like maybe like early December, or start throwing late. Like last year, I threw a little bit later, and, you know, I felt like I wasn't that ready for the season. Obviously, you know, opening day, I kind of got roughed up, and I felt like that kind of translated to that. So it was kind of just finding a fine line in between on when to start throwing, you know, max effort. So, and I think this year, yeah, I started a little bit earlier in January. Like last year was mid-January, and years before that was like late December. So now I'm trying to find the fine line in between, so I went right in the middle. So I'm feeling great, though, so hopefully that works out.
All right, Derek. Hey, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it, and good luck this season.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That's Giants right-hander Derek Law. Also at Media Day in San Francisco, I had a chance to talk to Nick Hundley, who came back to the Giants after a successful 2017 in which he won the Willie Mack Award. Here's a conversation I had with Nick Hundley.
Nick, what was special about your time in San Francisco that enabled you to come back here again in 2018?
Yeah, I think the fact that the organization is all in. We have an ownership group and a front office and a manager and a group of guys that want to win the World Series and aren't ashamed to say it. And I'm really excited to be around those types of people. When the free agency started, talked to my wife. My wife loves it up here. My family loved it. That was a huge, huge plus. But, you know, I told my agent, this is where I want to be, and let's make it happen. Obviously, there's, you know, some due diligence talking to other clubs, but when it came down to it, this is such a special place, and in today's landscape, you know, how teams are operating, there's a minority of teams that are trying to win the World Series. So to be on one of those teams is really special.
Well, for a guy who's been a number one catcher elsewhere, what kind of mental adjustments did you make? And, you know, you actually got a lot of playing time because Posey is going over to first base quite a bit, and, you know, you're getting in there as much as possible. So did that kind of help your transition into that?
Yeah, you know, I've always, whether I play one game or I play every game, my mindset's not going to change. I'm going to prepare like I'm going to play every single day, and I think that's what I owe myself. That's what I owe the team. And so whether – yeah, the amount of games I play is kind of irrelevant. I'll be in there when Boach wants me in there. Obviously, I play behind the best catcher in the world, so you know, that's a plus for me to be able to watch him and learn and talk to Buster about a bunch of different things and grow. But I plan on playing every day in my mind.
I always look at the catcher job as being so difficult because, you know, you're hitting, but you've got to know everything that's going on in the game. You've got to know everything about your pitchers, their personalities, not just their repertoire. So what were some of the things that maybe you learned about this staff that you could carry into 2018?
Yeah, it's nice coming in this year having knowledge of all the guys already. You know, obviously we can take that to the next level. We can continue to grow and learn. But I think I can put these guys in a position to be successful even more now that we've had some time together. We've had a little bit of a track record. We've been in the heat of battle as opposed to last year coming in, you know, only seeing them on video and saying, okay, these, you know, I know what they have, but I don't know how they like to use it. So going into it, it'll be fun to take that next step with all the guys.
I always wonder, there's so much information that must be running through your head when you're calling pitches. So how do you filter all of that based on, you know, whether you looked at video or what the guy did earlier in the game or what he's done historically maybe against a certain pitcher?
Yeah, it's awesome. That's the fun part about catching is there's so many variables. The game is always changing, ever evolving. There's no concrete answers because there's so many different things that can happen throughout the game. I love the cat and mouse with trying to get the best hitters in the world out multiple times a game, multiple times a series. It's a special opportunity to catch and to be put in that position to call pitches. But that's my favorite part of the game is to call pitches, to get the pitcher in the right position to be successful, to get these guys out. And I love it.
Andrew McCutchen is a guy that you've gone against many times. So what do you like about him being in a Giants uniform?
Oh, I love it. It's going to be a lot better playing with him than trying to get him out. He's such a special talent. And I love the way he plays the game. You know, I love how hard he plays. I feel like as a superstar, as a perennial all-star, I think he won an MVP as well. But to come with it every day and to play hard like he does and to watch from the other side, you respect a guy like that. So to have him on our team, it just really impacts our lineup. Whether he hits 300 or whatever, it doesn't matter. For him to be in our lineup, it completely impacts the other team. They have to game plan completely different than if he wasn't in our lineup. So it's a huge, huge addition for us.
Were there any changes that you made on the offensive side last year to have success? I mean, definitely looked like you went the other way quite a bit with, you know, good pop. You hit a lot of doubles, it seemed like to me, in the gap in right center or even over the right fielder's head.
Yeah. You know, a couple years ago, that's been my strength coming up, to hit the ball in the middle of the field. And then when I in San Diego with the big ballpark, before they moved the fences in at Petco, there was really no if you hit the ball to right center field or right field or center, there was really no reward. So I kind of changed a little bit of my strengths to pull the ball more in the early part of my career just based on trying to have success. And then getting out of there, going to Baltimore, going to Colorado, got back to what I do well and kind of got back to myself and, you know, obviously some ups and downs last year, but I feel like being consistent and being true to what I do and who I am as an offensive player the last couple of years has really benefited me.
All right, last thing, you know, there's a lot of talk, the commissioner talking about trying to speed up the game. What are your thoughts about, you know, clocks in baseball? As a catcher, you guys are, you know, trying to make sure you get the right pitch, especially in some intense moments. You may need to go out there and talk to the pitcher. So what do you think the future is there?
That's a good question. We don't really know what the future is going to be. We can only kind of deal with the now, but I know that this game is a wonderful game, how it's being played. It's been played the same way for a long time. Not to say that it can't evolve and change, because there's definitely some positive changes like instant replay, stuff like that. I think that's greatly benefited the game, getting calls right, and it's also proven to how good umpires are, you know. But at the same time, I don't think this is a game based on the clock.
I don't think so either. Thanks a lot, Nick. Good luck this season. Enjoy spring training, too.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That's Giants catcher Nick Hundley. Well, Javi Lopez was a big part of the Giants bullpen for many years, won 3 World Series with San Francisco after he won a World Series ring with the Boston Red Sox. So 4 World Series rings for him, and you see him all the time now on NBC Sports Bay Area as an analyst. I had a chance to have a long chat with Javi at spring training in Scottsdale, Arizona, just outside of the Giants dugout. Here was that conversation.
First off, Javi, how much are you enjoying retirement from baseball yet working in the field of broadcasting and, you know, being an analyst, a baseball expert covering the Giants?
Well, I appreciate you calling me an expert. I don't know if I've reached those ranks as far as the broadcast side, but I enjoy it. It keeps me involved, keeps me around the guys. It's something that eases the transition. Obviously, it's a young man's game, and there's only so long you get a chance to put on this uniform, and to be able to be around the guys and watch them develop and help them out when you can. You know, I spend 10 days down here now in spring just to be able to, you know, pick their brains and have them pick mine, and just talk about maybe some game strategy and just overall approaches to baseball. But it's been a fun transition, and I look forward to another season of it.
What's the common question you're getting from some of the young guys?
Actually, it's what I miss the most, and what it's like being retired and not being around. And I think those are the kind of things that I never really thought about. I was blessed enough to play 14 years in the big leagues, and when I look at it, it happened so fast that I really just try to drive home the point that really they need to enjoy the day, enjoy the moment. Don't get frustrated with what the results are. Just kind of, as long as you're feeling what you're doing is right, and the luck and everything else will go your way. I mean, obviously it's a very unpredictable sport, but the more that you prepare, the more you get ready for a game situation, the more you're going to enjoy things. And so that's kind of where we're at.
What do you miss the most as we sit here just looking out at this field getting ready for a game today?
I miss, obviously, the camaraderie, being able to hang with the guys. And you miss the competition. That's always part of it. But it's just the fact of having different conversations and getting to know all your teammates. And that's one of the things I always really enjoy. I took pride in being able to have 25 different conversations and kind of just make sure everyone's doing okay in their own right. And that's what I miss the most, being able to do that. But again, it's something that happens not only to myself, but a lot of former players. It's just, it's time to go. You can't hang out in the uniform forever.
What's going to be important for the new Giants players that are, you know, joining the team to blend in? These are veterans. These aren't rookies. But when you have a guy like McCutchen and Jackson who have been around, and Longoria who's been with one team his whole career, you know, same thing with McCutchen, and Tony Watson who's really going to take up a big role in the bullpen, I'm sure you thought a lot about what he's going to offer.
Well, I think a lot of the guys, the moves had to be made. I think the credit has to be given to Bobby Evans and the front office and Brian Sabian to be able to bring in guys that have a proven track record. And when you look at the lineup's gotten deeper. You know, you now have some protection going all the way through from 1 to 8. If Madison's pitching, then you got 1 through 9, or hitting. You should say you got 1 through 9 protection. But those are the kind of things that you like to see going into the season. I think you're not expecting Longoria and McCutchen and Jackson to win you ball games every single night. But they're going to have to just step up when they can. And I think that's the best part about it. You're not relying on one guy to win or lose a ball game for you. It's going to be spread out throughout the lineup. And you've got coverage now and you got depth. And I think that's really what the offseason was, one of the things that needed to be answered. And they did that.
Well, with Will Smith not being here for the whole season, hopefully joining the team soon, and Melanson coming off a surgery, what kind of a key is it to have, you know, a guy like Tony Watson who's been around and has been successful?
Yeah, Watson's another guy with a track record. He's been able to close. He's seen the back end of ball games for most of his career. He's got very good stuff. I think it's you ask any of the hitters that have faced him that they know he's got a lot of deception. He's a long, lanky guy with a lot of velocity, and he was obviously got a taste of the postseason with the Dodgers last year, and he knows what it's like. He's hungry to get back, and obviously with Melanson, you just hope that he continues on the trending the right way, which he is. He's been able to throw the ball well so far this spring. I believe he has another side session today just to make sure he's ready to go, and those are the kind of guys that you want. Obviously the game is always predicated on having a good start and timely hits and a great bullpen, and the Giants have done a good job of piecing that back end together, and having Watson allows you to take your time with Will Smith. Obviously coming off of Tommy John, he's anxious to get back. Nobody enjoys that rehab process because you miss out on a whole lot, but Yeah, I think the timeline there is May 1st, but you don't have to force him to be back May 1st. And even when he is back, you don't have to force back-to-back outings or pitching a bunch of days in a row. And that's where Watson and maybe another lefty could step up, and whether it's Osich or Okert or as maybe another lefty, who knows what might happen before the end of spring. It gives them an opportunity as well to showcase their talents. And I think the bullpen might be a strength in the on the team again, which is nice to see.
What do you think Okert and Osich need to do to take the next step? And even Derek Law. I mean, these are the guys who are, the Giants have counted on to come through the system. You know, they've had their ups and downs, certainly, at the major league level.
Well, I do think it's always comes down to consistency. And I think when you look at the pitching side, you want guys that can just attack the zone and control the controllables. And that's one of them, being able to throw the ball over the plate and mixing up speeds. You know, you want to stay away from the walks. Hits are going to happen. You can't avoid that, but you want to limit damage, especially out of the bullpen. You're coming in zero failure situations most of the time. So you want to be able to come in and execute. And the one thing that these guys can lean on is the fact that they've had an opportunity at the big league level, and they've all had varying degrees of success. But at some point in time, they've all been hot up here, and they've done well. So you hope that kind of resonates with them when they take the mound, get between the lines, and lean on that experience of throwing the ball well and knowing that they can do that. And I think it comes down to just the consistency aspect of it. But, the sky's the limit, really, for all of them. They all throw the ball very hard. They all have great off-speed stuff. And I think when you have a guy like Tony Watson come in, you hope that challenges the lefties to have a competition. I mean, the competition brings the best out in anybody, and I think that's what you're seeing in camp. Okert's throwing the ball well, Osich as well. And with Law, you know, again, there's not much space in that pen. There's only so many spots that Bochy's going to take. And Law was able to clean some things up in Sacramento last year, came back, threw the ball well. And again, he's got the kind of stuff that was closing. I mean, he did have a little bit of time when Melanson first went down. So you want him to lean on those experiences and hopefully that he can continue to command his off-speed stuff.
Can you put your finger on what makes somebody successful in the clutch situations? I mean, there's a certain adrenaline that goes on when you come into a game and the bases are loaded, or, you know, it's a really important game. I mean, you've been in every situation. You've closed games. You've won four World Series. So you know what all of that takes. Can you put your finger on what it does take for guys to succeed in those situations?
Well, I can't speak for everybody, but I know for myself, one thing I really like was the preparation. I kind of just always thought game strategy for most of the ball game, and realizing with the way Bruce Bochy manages, you know the positions that you're going to come in, what your job description is going to be, and he puts you in positions to succeed, so you know what's asked of you, and he demands a lot of you, and that's a good thing. You want a manager that demands a lot because he expects a lot, and he wants to win ultimately, and I think that's something that as I moved on in my career, I had ups and downs too. You can, and anybody can look at my numbers and see how I've had my rough patches for sure. But once I was able to find that consistency, it really came with the fact of the consistent preparation. I had a quality routine that I could just, in my sleep, I knew what I was doing to get prepared for a ball game. Being able to have different dialogue with the guys in the bullpen, we're our own pitching coaches at the time, you know, when you're down there. And I think getting that slower heartbeat, because you're in those moments. And the one thing that I think is really important is that you got to want to enjoy. There's a fear of failure, I think, for everyone. But for me, I turn that fear of failure into more of an enjoyment that I am the guy that gets to pitch in these situations and gets to try to get the big out. And I really felt like that made me thrive in those spots. And I think when things are going well, you see a whole bullpen that can do that.
Is there a little extra motivation for somebody who doesn't throw 95 to 100 miles an hour like yourself, even like a Ty Block? You know, he goes out there, he's going to paint the corners, he's not going to blow people away, but maybe extra motivation to show people, hey, pitching can be done this way, and you can be successful if you don't have a 98-mile-an-hour fastball.
Well, that's really what it is. You become more of a pitcher, and I think that's one of the great things about Ty and some of the other guys that are in camp, and even my own career. Again, when I was young and dumb, I was, you know, even on my best days, I was throwing 90 to 92. You know, that's nothing nowadays, and you know, I finished my career throwing 85, and it's just what it is. I think when you get down to it, it's ability to pitch. It's recognizing innings, outs, and situations, and being able to get in there and get it done. And I think Ty Block has obviously done that. I like him and Stratton, and the fact that I think they've both thrown a bunch of innings in the minor leagues. You know, I think Ty had over 600. I'm sure Stratton's pretty close. So that's a seasoned guy when you think about it. And And I think that's the – obviously it's different than a big league level, but you're still here. And those are the moments that I really enjoy watching those guys pitch and being able to trust their off-speed stuff and fastball counts and know that they can do these things. Because a lot of the guys think that reaching back for that four-seamer, they're going to be able to get it by. But as you can see now, 95 is pretty much pedestrian. It's, you know, even guys are touching 100 on every club. That's those things are commonplace now, and the art of pitching will never change.
Couple more things before I let you go. Madison Bumgarner, last year, you know, that bike injury, it just seemed to really drag everybody down. So him coming back, you know, right here at the get-go, he looks really determined to have a big year. What's your take on, you know, what happened there last year with the team and him going down, how hard that was and what it means to have him back?
Well, you know, I think that's been touched on many times of the effects of what it was last year. Obviously, not being around the club, I can't really speak to what exactly they were feeling, but it was a blow. It's your ace, you know, to have that happen. It's very unfortunate. And I think, you know, when you look at Nick Hundley, as the way he puts down signs over here as he passes us by, he don't shake. But you know what it is? I think obviously when you lose a figurehead like that and a staff ace, it does have a ripple effect. But Madison's back. He's strong. He's in really good shape. He's slimmed down a little bit, knowing that he's going to be the guy again. And I think, obviously, you look at Cueto as well, battling some injuries and the blister issues as well, that you hope that he's back to his form of 2016, where they kind of push each other. And I think that's what you're looking for. Last year's a wash. I don't think they're thinking about 98 losses anymore. I certainly hope they're not. I know that's obviously easy water cooler talk about how what they've done to try to get better, but the guys in the locker room so far it's over. It's a wash. It's an outlier, and you kind of move forward from here.
The last thing, you know, when you're playing and you're focused on trying to win every day, I'm sure you still have to have time, you know, make time to have fun, especially in a bullpen. Now that you think back on it, are there some really good memories of, you know, just good times in the pen, some funny things that happen in there? Because it can get pretty boring over a 3-plus-hour game to be in a bullpen, and I would imagine that you guys come up with some fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's, again, one of the things that you miss. You enjoy being rag each other down there. There's nothing that's off limits when you get down there, and you try to enjoy the first 5 innings of a ball game the best you can, because after that, you know, it's crunch time and you got to focus. And those are the things that I try to impart some wisdom if asked. I never overstep my bounds now that I'm retired. But if guys ask me about things to do or some fun games or something to do, I'll try to impart some of that knowledge. But it's something that needs to happen. And some of the best bullpens, obviously, being here was a great pen. I was friends with every single one of them. We'd go out and do dinners and hang out together and enjoy each other's company. And I think if you see a lot of guys doing that, then that means it's a good recipe for this, not only the club, but the bullpen, and things are going well. The camaraderie is up. If you see a lot of guys that are kind of isolated, then that's when you know there's a little bit of some warning signs going there.
All right, Javi. Hey, by the way, Virginia Cavaliers, your Virginia Cavaliers, they look unbeatable. I mean, what do you think of the chances here in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think defense always keeps you in a ball game. They limit possessions, and it's they had one heck of a game against Louisville just a couple nights ago, and they won on a last-second shot. But when I look across the college basketball landscape, there's not that one team that I think is just overpowering. And I think if there's a year that Virginia could make a run, it would be this year. They play good defense, but now they got guys that can hit the outside shot, and so they can play the game. They're always going to keep it. When you limit possessions, you're always in a ball game. It's just a matter that they stay hot, and hopefully the teams that they play stay cold.
I'm sure you and Jarrett Parker will be very happy if they win. And by the way, analysis of baseball and then basketball. You gave me the whole gamut of analysis. So thank you very much. Good luck this season with NBC Sports Bay Area and everything that you're doing.
Oh, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
That's former Giants reliever Javi Lopez. I want to thank him along with Jeff Samardzija, Derek Law, and Nick Hundley for joining us this week on thesportsvirus.com. Now, next week, we've got a great show lined up for you. The Giants double play combination will be joining us. I had long chats with Giants shortstop Brandon Crawford and Giants second baseman Joe Panik that you won't want to miss next week. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.